all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
Welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone. I'm the officer of the deck today. We've got some great programs for you. I think you'll find very interesting. We always want to remind you, you can find more about Veterans Radio at its Facebook site or by going to veteransradio.net, where we're on the web 24/7. You can find a lot of our podcasts there as well. We post new ones every Tuesday, so you can get a new story, a new interview, something you didn't know before by going to veteransradio.net. And before we get started, we want to thank our sponsors. First up, we want to thank National Veteran Business Development Council, NVBDC.org. It was established to certify both service-disabled and veteran-owned businesses. You'll find out how they can help your business by going to NVBDC.org. We want to thank Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans fights for veterans' disability rights all across the nation. You can reach them at 800-693-4800 or on the web at legalhelpforveterans.com. We also want to thank our latest national sponsor, Veteran Lending Council. It is a community dedicated to educating lenders, realtors, and veterans on the VA Home Loan Benefit Program. You can check them out on Facebook and other social media outlets. We want to welcome to Veterans Radio newly commissioned Second Lieutenant Grace Van Arndonk. We have her on because she just got out of the Western Michigan ROTC program and actually is in the process of studying to take her RN boards in a month or so. Grace, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, you were recently recognized as the Army ROTC top cadet in the state of Michigan and ranked number 8th nationally. And we're going to talk about that as kind of why we tried to track you down and talk to you. But let's start with something a little bit different. Your family is in the medical field, so you going into the nursing field isn't all that surprising. Tell us a little bit about your mom and dad.
So actually, my dad is a pastor, and my mom's an accountant, but everyone on my dad's side works in the medical field, and my grandpa was a family doctor in Kalamazoo, and my grandma taught. She was a nurse, and then she ended up teaching at Nazareth College in Kalamazoo. And then I have a lot of cousins and aunts and uncles that are physical therapists, and that's really what I was leaning to. But I went to a recruiter, and they're like, physical therapy, you know, it's just a long road, but nurses are needed. And for some reason, I didn't take a second look at it. I was like, okay, yeah, sure.
Well, you gravitated towards getting involved with military service early on. Tell us a little bit about that from your experience as a young woman thinking about how do I go to college and what's my career path and where that kind of what was going on through your brain.
Well, that's kind of a funny story. It was super random. I cheered all throughout high school, and our varsity cheer coach. Just one time at practice, I like distinctly remember this moment. I just finished doing a skill and she's like, Grace, you know, you should go into the military when you're older. And I just, it kind of just sat in my brain for a while. And then I started thinking about it. I was like, yeah, you know what? I like intensity. I like structure. I like planning things. I am a little bit of a control freak sometimes. So it seemed fitting, so I started exploring my options. And I applied to the Air Force Academy, and I realized, I was like, why do I want to go into the Air Force? Like, what's my reasoning? And then I also had a friend that was kind of part of this process, too. And he actually just graduated from Michigan State and commissioned. And he was like, why don't you look into the Army? And I was like, okay. So I went to the recruiting office and I was going to do the simultaneous membership program initially and enlist. And then the recruiter told me himself, he was like, go apply for the ROTC scholarship. Just do it. And he's like, if you don't get it, then you can still do SMP. But if you get it, then you don't contract with us. You don't enlist. I was like, okay. So I went and did that. And last board of my senior year, I got a 4-year scholarship to Western. I was like, okay.
That really makes the decision easier, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And all of the doors just opened up from there. I got into the school. So I got the scholarship there. I had direct admission to the nursing program. I had made the cheer team. All of the stars just kind of aligned from that moment.
That really is sort of a random, you know, a coach saying something to you and it stuck, because while you did have a family history in the medical field and with your grandfather being a doctor and your grandmother being a nurse, did you have any family history that you know of in military service?
No.
Well, and part of this, let's explain to the audience that you are an adoptee. Tell us a little bit about that journey.
Yeah, so my parents adopted me when I was 4 months old from South Korea. And I honestly don't know anything different just because we were so young. I'm so blessed. I couldn't imagine my life any other way, honestly. They've set me up for success. And yeah, there's not really much to it.
No. But part of it is, you know, there isn't like, oh, great granddad fought in this and that. And a lot of times when I'm talking to somebody and they went into the military because of that family history, but that's not here. How do you as an American with a Korean heritage, think about military service?
I think it is a privilege and obviously a great honor to be able to go do that. And it's the standard of our country. And I'm a huge person of the standards and expectations and doing something for other people, even if they don't see it. Because that's what it is. I think it's lost in translation what the Army actually does for the country or the military in general.
Oh, absolutely.
It's unfortunate, but like to be able to be a part of that and maybe help others understand what is happening, then I think that's great.
And we're talking to newly commissioned Second Lieutenant Grace Van Arendak, recent graduate of the Western Michigan ROTC program, a nurse studying for her boards at the moment. Back up to high school when you're making this decision of maybe I'll go the ROTC route, and you had one friend who was going that route at Michigan State. But how did the rest of your family, cheer group, high school student friends, kind of what was their take on what are you doing?
Everyone was just like, yep, seems about right. That sounds like Grace. My mom was a little nervous, you know, because she's a mother. But like, if she's gonna go do what she wants. So one swayed me the other way.
That's the problem with raising strong, independent women or girls, is they turn into strong, independent women and they do what they want. And you took this seriously right from the beginning. You were recognized in your freshman year as the top cadet in Western's ROTC program. And in your senior year, you were named the recipient of the 2022 Army Officer's Sabre from the Arsenal of Democracy chapter of the Association of the United States Army. That's a mouthful. Tell me what it really means.
Pretty much it's just based on each PMS, Professor of Military Science, from each school in Michigan gets to nominate someone. And it's based on your performance all-around performance, so academics, volunteering, and physical capabilities along with your leadership. And yeah, he gave me this opportunity to apply for it. And I was hopeful, but I was also realistic, right? Because I don't know what the other people looked like, and there's always someone better than you. So yeah, that.
Well, both of those are very nice awards as reward for all the time and effort that you put into it. For moms and dads and maybe high school kids who are thinking about the ROTC program, can you talk a little bit about what you had to do over the 4 years mm-hmm. to get to this point to be commissioned?
Yeah, one, let me just start by saying it was probably the best decision of my life. I am a much better person for it, and the people around me are better people for it because we get to make each other better. I wouldn't go back and change anything. Even if I didn't get a scholarship, I'd still do it. You start out your freshman year, they call military science levels, and you're MS1. Pretty much that's just like feeling out the waters. You're deciding, do I want to be here or not? Is this something I'm interested in? You kind of just start getting your feet on the ground and going through and understanding, like, here are the basic things. You don't have leadership position, so it's an observant position. Your MS2 year, you kind of the same thing. You can still have a test to see if that's where you want to be. And then your MS3 year starts getting heavier. You start getting these leadership positions, and you have to start pulling your weight within the program, and you're executing all of the trainings and our leadership labs that we have on Thursdays, the hands-on stuff. You're the one that is teaching that as your MS3 year. And then your MS4 year, you are planning what the rest of the battalion is going to be training on. So, and that's how Western works. Western's really great because it's a cadet-led program. So cadre is really hands-off, and they let the MS4s really get that hands-on, like, officer learning. Here's the planning. Here's what we want you guys to plan. Go plan it. Come bring recommendations to us, and they'll approve it or disapprove it. And based on there, then it falls down the line of, okay, MS3s, here's the plan, execute it, and then they will teach the MS2s and the MS1s.
And this includes physical training as well as academic lectures on different topics. Tell us a little bit about both of those components.
Yeah. So physical training is Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at Western. And so 3 times a week. And then you have your class, which depending on if you're a freshman, sophomore, junior, or senior, the length differs. And then you have your class and your lab that goes with that. And that's always on Thursdays for us. And then we have a field training exercise once a semester that is required to attend. And then there's a lot of like extracurricular things that you can do too. So many clubs, so many ways to enrich yourself in the ROTC culture. And those are all extracurricular.
And let me drill down a little bit, because you kind of mentioned it, but for those who maybe aren't familiar with the program, as an MS1 and MS2, if you're testing the water and find out it's not for you, what happens?
If you are not contracted, so if you don't have like a scholarship, you just disenroll from the class, and you just don't have to come back the next semester. I wouldn't disenroll in the middle of the semester, because then it's going to show an incomplete on your transcript, which you don't really want that. So I would just finish, you would just finish out the semester, and then you just wouldn't come back, and you would let the cadre know that this isn't for you.
And I think that's a great way for folks to sort of say, yeah, maybe, but I'm not sure. Get some feel for what is involved in being in the military, and understanding of rank and discipline. following orders, which not everybody's really good at, you know, a certain percentage of folks every year across the ROT spectrum step out and say, you know what, now that I think about it, this isn't for me. So it's maybe for parents a little less scary that way too about what their what their child is getting into. How big was the ROTC program at Western? How many people were involved and how many women were involved?
We have about 100 cadets. And I want to say last time I asked about it, it was like 30 to 35% were female.
Well, that's a pretty good mix.
Yeah. Strong females at Western.
Did you have any training exercise that you remember in particular, whether it is, I don't think they let you jump out of airplanes at this level, but, you know, that sort of thing where you thought, I never thought I could do that, but I did it.
Actually, I did go to air assault school last summer, and I the thing that I remember this so clearly, on the 12-mile ruck march, I was like, I have no idea how I'm still moving right now. It's like, I want to be done with this thing. I don't know why I thought this. I was like kind of miserable, but it was fun misery. So I was like, how am I going to get my wings and not finish this 12-mile ruck? Like, how am I going to cheat pretty much, right? Because I was so ready to be done. But yeah, that's the number one memory that I have.
Well, you learn a lot about through this program, much different than any college student. Well, you really learn about how far you can push yourself, both mentally and physically, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's probably why I remember, is because I'm like, man, if I can do that with that state of mind, then I better be able to finish whatever task I have in front of me. Like, if I was wanted to be done so bad that I thought about cheating, but I still finished it without cheating, then I'm like, then whatever I have to do next is, I better be able to finish it.
Well, it certainly gives you a basis the next time you face that hard thing that you say, I don't think I can do. It gives you something to remember, hey, I did this, I can do that.
Absolutely, yeah.
As you go on and talk about the next thing, what do you hope the next thing is for you in the Army?
Oh, man, there's so many things I want to do. I would like to be specialized in the ER for nursing and ultimately become a flight nurse, which is a process in itself. So there's a couple of things I have to do before I'm qualified to do that. And then outside of nursing, I'd love to go to Ranger School. I'd love to have that qualification because then I'm versatile and I can work in a hospital, but then I'm also can be tactically inclined and keep building those leadership skills on the other side, on the outside of the medical field. I'd love to teach. I'd love to go be a nurse educator. I would like to be a nurse practitioner. There's just an endless list of things I want to do.
Well, that's the beauty. That's the beauty of it. You're at a young age, just getting out, you know, going to pass the boards here in June. And then really the world is wide open for you, and the Army has all kinds of pathways for you to achieve those things. The military in particular really does want people to move from, you know, sort of field to field to field to get diversified. And sometimes in the civilian world, you get stuck doing one thing and you never get to do anything else. So that's got to be kind of exciting for you.
Oh, yeah. I'm thrilled. I'm super excited. And I think people also forget about that too, that just because you're in the military, it doesn't limit you, that you actually have so much more that you can do that people on the civilian side would not be able to do. Like, go rappel out of a helicopter. How many nurses in the civilian world can say that they rappelled out of a helicopter? You know?
Not many, that's for sure.
So, yeah, there's a lot.
So take your bars off and your wings off, and what would you say to a young girl thinking about ROTC as an option, or moms thinking about ROTC as an option?
Do it. Absolutely do it. And if you decide you don't like it, then that's okay. But even in your first year, you're going to develop so many just skills and how to work with people and how to understand people that you will not get anywhere else. It's structured, and these are just, it's everything that you can take into everyday life. Like when I was in college, everything was separate, but it came back down to the basic leadership skills, being able to socialize with people and be empathetic towards people. It all came back down to that. And I built many of those skills in ROTC.
Well, the other thing that you certainly get in the military is exposure to a diverse group of folks. Now, at Western's ROTC, they're probably all coming out of Western Michigan or Michigan in general. But as you'll quickly find, you're going to meet folks, and you probably did in some of your summer experiences, from all over the country. Southerners and East Coast folks and West Coast folks. Did you have that exposure during the summer?
Yeah, I did. I actually still talk to many of the people that I went to our summer training with. And the funny thing is, too, like you're meeting these people, and these are going to be your coworkers. Like, these are your peers. You're going to go out in the real world, and the Army's big, but it's small. So you're going to be working with these people. And yeah, I still talk to them. They're from Boston. They're from California.
Again, that's the sort of exposure that again the typical college graduate may not bump into. Broadens your perspective, and in many ways makes you a more valuable employee, but just in general a better human being. So
yeah,
well, the very exciting times in front of you, getting through the boards here in the next month or so. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, tell us what you would expect to happen in terms of training and identification of your next duty assignment.
So I will pass my NCLEX, the nursing boards, and then I will get orders a few weeks later to go to basic officer leadership course. And for me, for medical officers, that's in Fort Sam Houston, Texas. So I'll be there for 9.5 weeks. And I don't really have my duty station picked out. I can't tell you where I'm going, like where I want to go, because I honestly don't really care that much, because I'm gonna get
right. You want to have the whole experience. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you, Second Lieutenant Grace Van Arndock, for spending a little time with Veterans Radio to talk to our listeners about the value of being in an ROTC program. And we wish you nothing but the best in your career here, Grace. You're going to do great.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for talking to us.
Thanks for having me.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans. And you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
We would again want to thank our national sponsors, the National Veterans Business Development Council, NVBDC.org, VA Ann Arbor Health Care System, the Vietnam Veterans of America Charles S. Kettles Chapter, Ann Arbor, Michigan, VFW Graf O'Hara Post 423 in Ann Arbor, and the American Legion Prescorn Post 46, also in Ann Arbor. And the Veterans Lending Council, which advises lenders, realtors, buyers about VA Home Loan Program, and you can find them on Facebook. We appreciate all your support. You can go to veteransradio.net, click on the sponsor level, and continue to support keeping Veterans Radio on the air. And until next time, you are dismissed.